Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 13. And while you're turning there, we'll pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can take this blessed old book and we can open it up and read it and study it and know what you expect of us. And I pray, Father, that this morning as we open the scriptures, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts in a very real and special way. Help us to take what we learn and do something with it. Help us to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is going to be our third and final message from Matthew chapter 13. Now, this is not our final message in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, but it is our third and final message from Matthew chapter 13. And I think that this has been an interesting study because in this chapter, Jesus has taught us some very important spiritual lessons. By the time we finish this morning, he will have told seven parables or seven illustrations from real life situations to teach us some important spiritual lessons. On week one in Matthew 13, we looked at the parable of the sower and the seed and the four kinds of soil that the seed would fall upon: hard, rocky, thorny, and good. And the lesson Jesus taught has to do with us as believers in Christ going out into the world and spreading the good news of Jesus everywhere we go. We were the sowers in that parable. And the seed was the word of God. And the four soils represent the four types of responses that we get to the gospel. And then last time, we looked at three more parables: the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the mustard seed tree with the birds lodging in it, and the parable of the lump of dough having leaven added to it. And we saw that the wheat and the mustard tree and the unleavened dough represent all those who are believers in Christ. And then the tares and the birds and the leaven added to the dough represented all those who were non-believers in Christ. We learned that in the world, the wheat and the tares grow together. And that's true even within the church, right? True believers and false believers. In the world, the mustard tree and the birds dwell together. And in the lump of dough, the bread and the leaven dwell together. But there is coming a time when there will be a great separation of believers and unbelievers when Jesus returns. And believers will ultimately wind up in heaven, and unbelievers will ultimately wind up in hell. But God's desire is for all to be saved and go to heaven. And he has given us the job of telling them the gospel of Christ so they can be saved. And so they can be ready to meet him when he comes. It's our job to tell them how he shed his blood and died on the cross for their sins, and how he rose again 3 days later so that they could be forgiven and have eternal life and a home in heaven and be a child of God. It's our job to tell them that all they have to do is believe that good news and call out to Christ for salvation. It's our job to go out and spread the good news, to spread the seed of the Word of God wherever we go, so that people can be part of what we see in the next two parables. And so if you've got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now here again, the field is the world. That does not change in this parable. That continues from the other parables. The field is the world. But the treasure is the church. The treasure is the church, referred to in the Bible also as the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ. Jesus gave all he had to buy the world so that he could claim the treasure for his own. He left behind the splendors and the wonders and the glories of heaven and came down to this wicked, sinful earth and was beaten and scourged. He had that crown of thorns beat down into his skull. He was nailed to a cross. He was stabbed with the spear in the side. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was spit upon. And then he spent 3 days in hell to purchase the field of the world in order to claim the treasure. He paid it all. All the debt for the sin of the world, just so he would have the right to the treasure. And that really is what the most famous verse in the Bible is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus paid the price for the whole world, that whosoever believeth in him, those who believe in him, they're the treasure, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he did that because he loved that treasure. In Ephesians 5:25, our Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And if you are a believer in Christ, you're part of that treasure, and he gave his all for you. That's how much he thinks of you. That's how much he loves you. You know, in our Bible, in two places, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, and in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it says that we are a peculiar people. Now, back when our King James Bible was written in 1611, the word peculiar meant something a little different than we use it today. Today we think it means odd or weird or strange or crazy. And I have to tell you, after 40-something years of ministry, I've met some of those Christians. But that's not what it's talking about here. The word meant a purchased and special treasure. That's what peculiar means there. His church is precious and special to him. And let me say this. If you look at your heart and life, and you now realize that, oh, yes, you're part of the world, but you're not part of the treasure, well, that's why Jesus came, so that you could become part of the treasure. And this morning we challenge you, if you've never done so before, to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and invite him in to wash your sins away and to give you everlasting life. Receive him as your Savior, because today, if you'll just put your faith and trust in him, you can become part of God's special treasure. Now, let's continue on here in this chapter. Look at verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Oh, Pearl, where are you? Cousin Pearl, are you around here anywhere? Oh, there you are. I know that's corny, but you see, if you're a believer in Christ, you're part of the makeup of the pearl of great price. Jesus sees you as a beautiful pearl. That's what you look like in the eyes of the Lord. And again, he was willing to pay the full price to purchase you. In 1 Corinthians 6:20 and in 1 Corinthians 7, I believe it's verse 23, it says, ye are bought with a price. Well, what's that price? Well, the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed or bought, that's what the word redeemed meant there, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus shed his blood in order to purchase you out of the slave market of sin and make you a born-again child of God. And that transaction takes place the very moment you trust in Christ as your Savior. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so that is, when you receive Christ, you're given the authority, you're given the right to call yourself a child of God. In Galatians 3:26, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You, by faith in Christ Jesus, can become part of the makeup of the pearl of great price. And you'll notice it says here that the merchant went seeking that pearl. And like that, if you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus is seeking after you. He says that in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, why is that so important? Well, look at this last parable, beginning in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Once again, we are reminded that there is coming a great separation of believers and unbelievers. It's pictured here by the good fish, right, being gathered and put in a vessel. That is, they're set aside, to be saved for the future, and then the bad fish that are cast away in something that is described here as the furnace of earth. But then the picture changes, right? Because it's a furnace of fire, rather, because it's a furnace of fire, well, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that furnace of fire, of course, becomes the picture of hell. You see, hell is a real place. People don't like to be told that, but it's true. Hell is a real place where there is real unquenchable fire and where real people go and spend eternity. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. hell is my least favorite subject to preach on. As a matter of fact, I can't even fathom any preacher enjoying preaching on hell. But if I'm going to be faithful to God and faithful to His Word and faithful to His calling on my life, I have to preach on it every now and then. Because here's what I've found in over 40-something years of ministry. I found this. Some people get saved by hearing of heaven, and they run to Jesus because they want to go to heaven someday. But there are other people who get saved by hearing about hell, and they run to Jesus because they don't want to go to hell when they die. And so to be a true preacher of the gospel, you have to preach both. You have to preach about the need for both the mercy and grace of God, because both are part of our salvation. In Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." And then over in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now here's the difference, if you're not sure what the difference is between mercy and grace. Mercy, listen carefully to the words, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We deserve hell. But mercy, God's mercy, delivers us from hell. But then grace is a little different. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven, but God's grace gets us in. And so God's mercy is what keeps us from going to hell, and God's grace is what gets us into heaven. And how does a person experience both the mercy and grace of God? The answer is through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there is no other way. And we have been given the responsibility to share that message with the world. Now, back to Matthew 13. Let's continue in verses 51 and 52. Jesus saith unto him, Have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now a scribe is a teacher. And in this statement, you and I, as believers, as were the apostles, we are the scribe. We have something to teach the world. Something we have been instructed in. Something we know. And that special thing we know is the gospel. And that gospel is our treasure. But are we to just hoard that treasure and hide it and keep it only for ourselves? No. You'll notice it says that he brought it forth. Right? We're to share it with others. We're to tell them the new and the old, it says. We're to tell them how Jesus has saved our souls. That's the new part. And we're supposed to tell them what Jesus did so we could be saved. That's the old part. Don't hoard your treasure. Give it out. Be generous with it. See, the gospel is the greatest piece of news ever to fall on human ears. And as the old hymn says, take the name of Jesus with you. Wherever you go, in whatever you're doing, in whatever circumstance or situation of life you find yourself, never be ashamed or afraid to open your mouth and put in a word for the Savior. Now, let's finish this chapter up quickly by looking at the last verses, beginning in verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Folks, there will always be people who question Jesus and come up with every excuse to reject him and to reject his teachings and to mock him and to make fun of him. But their big problem comes down to the very last word of this chapter, the word unbelief. Unbelief. And that unbelief has consequences. As long as they remain in unbelief, they are the hard, rocky, thorny soil and not the good soil. They are the wheat. They are the tares, but not the wheat. They are the birds, but not the tree. They are the leaven, but not the bread. They are the field, but not the treasure. I guess you could say they are the oyster, but not the pearl. And they are the bad fish, and not the good fish. And if they stay in that condition, they will miss heaven and spend eternity in hell. But is that really what God wants for them? No, it's not. He wants them to understand the gospel and believe it and be saved by faith in Christ. He wants them to be able to respond to his question in verse 51 just like the apostles did. Look at back at 51. Jesus saith unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." You see, every day, God is confronting sinners, saying, "Do you understand? That is, do you understand that Jesus died for you and rose again for you and that he has made it possible for you to have forgiveness and eternal life by simple faith in him? Do you understand this?" And the desire of his heart is for people to be able to respond back to him just like the apostles and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I understand the gospel. Yes, Lord, I believe the gospel. Yes, Lord, I am trusting in the Christ of the gospel." And why is this so important? Is because of something I have repeated over and over again in our series of lessons from the book of Matthew, and it's this. He wants people to be saved. Why? Why? Because of a verse I've ended with several times, 2 Peter 3:9. It's because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for these wonderful parables that Jesus has used to teach us some important spiritual lessons. And Lord, as we bring this message to a close, I pray for two things. First of all, I pray that if there is somebody here today or maybe listening by way of YouTube that has never received Christ as their Savior, oh, how I pray that today would be the day when they would open up their heart and invite Him in to wash their sins away, to give them eternal life and a home in heaven, and to make them part of the family of God. Lord, I pray that today they'd see this to be their great need, and right where they are, they would call out to Christ and invite Him in to be their Savior and Lord. And then for those of us, Lord, who have already taken that step of faith, help us to remember that there is coming a day when there's going to be a big separation of believers and unbelievers. But until that day, we have a responsibility to bring the gospel to as many people as we can, to help them get ready for that day, help them be ready to meet Christ. And so help us to be faithful in sharing the good news of the Savior. We ask this in His name. Amen.